Santiago Peregrino. Today marks the third time I am walking from San Juan to Roncesvalles on my own. This has become almost a rite of passage, this solitary walk in the Pyrenees, before I join the pilgrim masses in Roncesvalles. I don't mind the solitude, because I know by now that you're never really alone on the Camino. Even if you're playing the hermit, sleeping in the open, and shunning other pilgrims, you are still walking a road that was won and made safe for you by 50 generations of pilgrims, warriors, farmers, kings, engineers, rogues, and saints. All of them are walking with you, even when you feel most alone, and maybe especially then. And never far away, either, is St. James the Pilgrim, Santiago Peregrino. The day I met Santiago Peregrino was on my second Camino, as I made my way from San Juan to Roncesvalles. That time I stayed in the clean, cozy refuge of San Juan. There were only three of us, and when I woke in the morning, the others were gone. The shops on the Rue de la Citadelle were not yet open, and I had bought no provisions the night before. So the prudent thing would have been to wait a bit, to stoke up on caffeine and calories before I started to walk. Ah, but I had no use for prudence that day. I was going to follow the route of Napoleon. After days of driving rain and lightning storms, it was a splendid morning for walking. I climbed and climbed, looking back often to admire the widening panorama of farms, pastures, green slopes. I felt alive, invigorated, and light as air, though part of that was my empty stomach. Well, that was all right. My map showed villages ahead. Othatzanea, Erekeluk, Unto, oh, such gnarled Basque names, where surely I would find a bar or a shop. In fact, by my figuring, I should be getting to, what was that name again? Othatzanea. I should be getting to Othatzanea any minute now. I scanned the landscape for the village church spires, but I saw only farms and cows. Finally, I checked my map. There was no way around it. Othatzanea was the three houses back there on the left. No worries. I'd be in Erekeluk soon enough. Erekeluk, now there's a name. I tromped along, birdling Erekeluk, Erekeluk, like a happy parrot. After half an hour or so, I came upon two farms and a barking dog. And that was Erekeluk. My stomach snarled at me. Why didn't you buy some bread last night? Patience, I told it, patience. You see, I had a saving grace. I knew there was a pilgrim refuge in Unto, which surely meant somewhere to eat. I wouldn't be there till past noon, but it would be worth the wait. In Unto, the cheerful sign on the refuge read, "Closed till May." There were no shops. There would be no shops now until Roncesvalles. There were doors. A pilgrim can knock on doors for help, but I was too timid or too proud, or maybe I thought it served me right to go hungry. So I went on. It was a beautiful day, and I was crossing the Pyrenees. In 6 hours, when I sat down to my first meal of the day, I would truly appreciate it. And until then, I was fasting. Yeah, that put a nice spin on it. The higher I climbed, the wilder and more lonely were the mountainsides. There was no one in sight but the occasional shepherd grazing his flocks below. The sun came out full, transforming the clumps of sheep dung on the grass into glistening clusters of grapes. I sat, surrounded by cows, watching jet trails cross the sky. And sometime around 3 o'clock, I drank the last of my water. It ran all the way down to my toes. I had been saving that gulp for the Fountain of Roland at the height of the pass, just after the waymark that says Santiago, 765 kilometers. I could see the fountain now just ahead, a little stone cairn with a tap sticking out of it. As I drew closer, I could see the little sign, too, the one that read, "Disconnected for the winter." By the Fountain of Roland, I sat down and wept. Or nearly. I decided instead to count my blessings. It was only 4 more hours to Roncesvalles. There was no rain, snow, or hail. None of the wolves, bears, or bandits that pilgrims of old walked in fear of. Really, I was quite lucky. If only I could convince my stomach of that. And so, as I sat by the dry fountain, I told my stomach the very old story of the pilgrim who crossed the Sierra del Perdón in the pounding heat of summer. This pilgrim had eaten nothing for days, and he could barely set one foot in front of the other. Suddenly, there was another at his side, where no one had been before. "You look thirsty, my friend," said the stranger. The pilgrim thought that salvation had arrived. "Do you have water?" he gasped. "I have water for those who can pay," said the stranger with a smile. And then the pilgrim understood who it was that walked beside him, and what price he would ask for his water. "I will die before I drink your water," he said. "And well you may," smirked the devil. "If you change your mind, I won't be far off." And in a flash, he was gone. The pilgrim staggered on, till at last he fell upon the baked earth. He didn't know how long he had been lying there, when he heard the sound of hoofs. Opening his eyes, he saw a brilliance that was not the sun, but a rider cantering down the slope on a white horse. The rider wore a pilgrim's cloak. A broad hat shielded his face. He dismounted, took a scallop shell from his saddlebag, and plunged it into the earth beside where the pilgrim lay. There was a sound of rushing water. Then the horseman knelt and offered the shell to the pilgrim's lips. "Drink." The pilgrim looked into the rider's eyes. He had seen that honest face before, but where? He fell into a faint, and when he woke, he knew. It was the face he had seen above the altar of every church, the face of the pilgrim St. James. The stream still gushed from the earth at his side, as it gushes to this day. It is called the Fuente de Reniega, the Well of Renunciation, and every pilgrim should drink of it, for its waters fortify the spirit against temptation to abandon the Camino. My stomach had fallen quiet. It was impressed. "And, when do we get to this fountain?" it asked. In 3 days. It's just after Pamplona." My stomach went back to its growling. Well, there should have been no one else on the path that day. Yet all of a sudden, I heard a crunch of boots. A stocky man in his 50s, wearing a battered straw hat, emerged from the trees. I stood to meet him. "Hank," he said, shaking my hand firmly. "Yeah, just call me Hank." Hank came from Rotterdam. In fact, he had come all the way from Rotterdam on foot. "How far is that?" I asked. He knitted his brow. Yeah, I haven't counted lately. Around 2,000 kilometers. "Did you see the sign back there?" I asked. 765 kilometers to Santiago? Yeah, I'm almost there." "But where did you come from today?" "Well, I was walking in the rain 2 days ago, and I caught a cold, so I stayed an extra night at a guest house in San John. This morning I still felt a little sick, but the day looked very fine, so I decided to walk." Hank was brisk. The sort of man who walks 3,000 kilometers briskly, if that makes any sense. He sorted out who I was with a few brisk questions, and then he said, "Well, you're Bob, I'm Hank, we'll see each other tonight in Roncesvalles." He was about to launch himself up the path when I blurted out, "You don't have any food, do you?" He stopped. "Food? Have you had no food today?" "Oh, that's not good at all. A pilgrim needs energy. Let me see." He opened up his pack and started tossing out edibles. "I've got these dried fruit bars. They have everything your body needs. And, oh, here's a can of tuna from Catalonia in a tasty tomato sauce. And I still have half a loaf of French bread from yesterday. Not so fresh, but I think you won't mind. Will you be okay with that?" I stammered that really I would be very okay, thank you. And then, without benefit of Enchanted White Steed, my sturdy Dutch benefactor took wing. I watched him vanish, briskly, up the path, meaning to wave if he looked back, but he didn't. So I sat down, laid out my meal, said thank you, and dived in. The French stick was stale. The tuna swam in a salty, goopy sauce. The energy bars were, well, energy bars. And I can say I have never enjoyed a meal more. After, as I sprawled among the rocks and wildflowers, gazing at the snow-capped mountains to the east, I wondered if the man who had helped me was really just plain Hank, who happened to be in the right place at the right time. Or was he not the Pilgrim James, in the guise of a brisk Dutchman? Did it make any difference? Whoever it is, whatever it is, that walks with us on the Camino, and cares for us, and saves us from peril when all hope is lost, let that be Santiago Peregrino.